In this episode, we have a special guest to discuss, if you were a teacher, how do you grow on social media? Where do you start? What's the easiest way? What are some of your options? I know for me, there were a lot of things online that I could follow, but it was kind of overwhelming. So I've gone through this. My friend Azdrubal has gone through this as well, and he is really growing exponentially on TikTok. And I saw all this growth and I thought, this is a person that we want to talk to. So I hope you can catch a lot of tips today for starting some social media on Instagram or TikTok, or even YouTube, because I can say we've been there and we have some things to share with you. So I hope you walk away with a lot of actionable tips today. I'm Bianca, your personal American accent coach, and I'm here to help you master an American accent in English because your voice is your choice when it comes to how you sound. I try to release a podcast episode every 2 weeks, and so you should really subscribe to whatever podcast platform you use so that you don't miss the newest episode. And by the way, if you want to see the full video of the episode, it's available at Accent Coach Bianca on YouTube. Now, let's get on with the show. Welcome back. Yeah. Hey, I'm so excited to see you, Azdrubal. How have you been?
I've been great. What about you?
Great, great, great. I know you're just banging it out, man. You're just doing so much content and things like that. And that's why I said, wow, we have to like touch base again. It's been a while, number one. Number two, I said, here's a person I want to talk to because you're doing the same thing as me. You're trying to grow on all these different channels and things like that. And I thought, let's have a discussion about that to really get an inside review of what that's and what you might be in for. Let's say you're a teacher and you want to pivot into this area. What are you really looking at? What kind of work do you need to do? So we're going to talk about Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. But first, for people who might not know you, can you give a quick introduction about yourself?
Of course. So my name is Azdrubal. I'm going to guide you guys through the pronunciation. So it's Azdrubal. The main stress is on the second syllable, Azdrubal. I'm from Guatemala. I'm 27 years old. And I've been teaching for about 9 years now, almost 9 years, 8.5 years. And it's been a whole adventure. So what I do is now I focus on helping people who want to practice conversation. And I give them direct feedback on their pronunciation. We study the phonology, the sounds of English. We go through how to understand American accent in a better way. And not just understand it. Some people want to actually learn how to acquire the accent. So I help them out. Mm-hmm. It's not everybody's goal. It doesn't have to be. But if that's part of your goal, we can work on that. So I mostly do conversation practice online. And I also teach regular language courses at a university here in my country. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing right now. And that's what I do. Basically, I consider myself a self-taught person. I love learning new stuff all the time. I just enrolled in like 100 courses this year. And I just named this year the year of learning because I really need to update my knowledge and be up to date with all the stuff going on in the English language teaching industry. So yeah, that's what I do for a living. I love what I do. I consider myself a passionate teacher, and that's all.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, you're like me. Like, you love it. You live it. This is your whole thing, right? You have, I guess I could say, job you're getting paid for or paid more for the university.
Yeah, a bit more.
Oh, yeah. At first, you're kind of trying to balance those two things and really make it work. But it's the passion, I think, that drives you. That's something I think we really connect on as well. And the same idea that like, okay, you don't want to work on your accent. That's fine. Like, I call myself an accent coach, but I can tell you, I have people who literally come to me for reading. I have people who come to me for grammar, and that's fine. You know, my passion is teaching those things. But if that's not what your goal is, we can always work with that. And you said this year for you is the year of learning. And I feel like it never ends. Like, you just keep digging.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I know it never ends. But especially this year, like, I think I got to a point where I started feeling stuck, professionally speaking. I just had a discussion with a friend of mine who is also an English teacher. He's so well prepared, academically speaking. Mm-hmm. He has such an amazing and impressive background. And he was telling me, hey, what's your teaching philosophy? So I tried to describe it to him, and I had a hard time like using the right words.
Jargon.
Jargon. So I was like, I used to know these things before. Yeah. So maybe I've been doing the same thing for 3 years now that I feel stuck. So I need to kind of refresh that knowledge, reinforce a couple of things that I probably already know, and learn things that I probably don't know already. So that's what I'm trying to do. And also, this industry, like, learning is always changing. Now we have artificial intelligence. We have things that are trying to replace teachers. So we need to be in continuous professional development.
Yeah, absolutely. For ourselves too. Like you said, oh, I have a feeling. I feel like I need something. And also like for our own intellectual state too. Like sometimes you get stuck in a rut, something like that. It's funny you mentioned that today because I think it was yesterday I was talking to another teacher and she's doing great. She's got probably 20 teachers under her. She's got all these programs. exams, blah, 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 blah. That's amazing. And I was like, you don't look happy. Like, you don't look as happy as you used to. And we started talking about all these other things, how I've got like the podcast and I'm starting my YouTube channel this year. Like you, I'm really like diversifying. And she just started to light up. She's like, oh yeah, and I could do that and I could do that. And I think sometimes diversifying what we do, it's really challenging, but it's also stimulating.
It is. When I had this conversation with this friend of mine, I felt challenged and I felt like, I hope it doesn't come across the wrong way, but I felt challenged and I felt like, why am I not on his same level? I want to be that intellectual. I used to be. So what happened to me? So I had the crisis and I spent a couple of days thinking and second guessing my choices. But then I realized, okay, it's never too late. I'm young. I've got the resources this year, thankfully. So I'll do it. I'll go for it. If it takes me years, it's going to take me years. If it takes me a month, it's going to take me a month. Mm-hmm. But I want to learn. I want to be better. And whether we want it or not, other greater professional opportunities still require certain knowledge and certain preparation. So it's also going to work for me that way.
Absolutely. I feel like more is more in this case. Exactly. Because it's more, but in this case, more is more.
More is more.
Absolutely. The knowledge, the information, just knowing how to talk about things. And I don't know if you've had this experience too. Before we recorded, we were just saying, both don't have kids. And when you have kids, there's this thing that happens to people I know who are parents and they forget how to speak like an adult, right? And they just have like this kid talk all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe you experience this too, is like when you're talking to people, not using your whole range of vocabulary because you're teaching and you're trying to use vocabulary at their level. And then you go back and you talk to somebody else with like your whole vocabulary, you're like, wow, that's refreshing.
It is. I've got a friend from New York. He's from New York and he's trying to learn Spanish. So he kind of hired me, but it's kind of an exchange. Like I help him practice Spanish and I teach him the Guatemalan slang and stuff like that. And when I explain things to him, I obviously use English and he never corrects my pronunciation or anything because I've heard very positive comments from him about my English and my pronunciation. But sometimes he gives me certain feedback. And the good thing is that even though he's not a teacher, he is knowledgeable. Like he does know stuff about pronunciation and some phonology and stuff. So he explains things very carefully to me and I listen to him. So it's also my source of a higher level listening practice because it's challenging sometimes when he uses slang or American expressions. I'm like, okay, can you catch me up? I didn't get what you said. Yeah. So I love that because I'm feeling like a student again.
Yes. And you're really lucky in that way too, because there's a lot of people who are native speakers that are not necessarily teachers, but then they become teachers, but they don't really know a lot. When I first started out teaching English, I met a lot of people who were like this. English is their first language, so they get hired, but they're not necessarily good teachers. And so I think you're really lucky to have found somebody who can not only just teach you these things in an informal way, but use the terminology that you're used to, so you're getting double bang for your buck.
We had a very interesting discussion. I want to know what your opinion about the word February.
Okay. We're currently recording in.
I saw this video. I subscribe to a channel on YouTube, which is wonderful. It's an American, a native speaker who is an accent coach, just like you. I don't know her name, but the name of her channel is Speech Modification.
Okay.
She posts amazing, very short videos explaining things to people. And she explained the word February, but she like spelled it out with like shorter words, like every sound. So she spelled Feb, like F-E-B, Roo, like R-O-O, and then Feb-Roo-Air, like the word air and E. Right? February. So I posted a video using that same format because I found it useful. And he said, listen, I don't think I've heard people saying February, but more just airy, like February, like a shorter sound, like a natural eh sound. He said, I'm not correcting you, but I think I hear people mostly say February and not February, like air, like longer vowel sound. So what do you think? Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. So there's a lot of these things we call mergers, right? For example, there's a very famous one called the cot merger or cot merger, whatever you want to call it. And for example, that's why you hear somebody will say the past of buy is aw bought. And some people will say the past of buy is bought. Yeah. So that's a merger and it's a really famous one. And you're talking about another merger here, right? So I'm going to break it down. Let's take that R at the end, r, and let's get rid of that for a second. You're starting them both the same, like you said, with eh, as in head or bed. Eh. Question is, are you going directly from eh to r? Eh, eh, er, er, er? Which is much easier for a Spanish speaker to normally
do. It is.
Do. Yes, yeah. Which I'm surprised that you had this person say this as a Native American speaker and also somebody with some knowledge here. So usually when you've got something that at the end of a syllable, if it's an R or an L, we call those liquid sounds. If you've got an R or an L at the end of a syllable, often our mouth just needs a little lubrication, we can say. Getting from that eh to the R, sometimes a little slips in. I do this. And that's why you're going to get that. And hair and wear over there. February. Like I'm wearing a jacket. I do that too. I actually find it quite difficult to cut out that little schwa. And so coming from some languages, it's actually easier and it's harder to learn the in there, right?
Yeah.
So totally both. I think the contention that I thought you were going to bring up was, do you put a y in there?
I do it, but it also happens, right?
Yes.
I always skip the R and then brewery, that is the second option. We use both, like with the ra and without the ra sound, but that syllable, right, maybe because of the region he's from, right? He mentioned that the people around him, he lives in New York, and if you compare someone from New York with someone from California and then someone from Florida, those are completely different accents.
Exactly. And think about how metropolitan New York is too. Everyone's coming from everywhere. So unless you lived your whole life there, you might encounter somebody right next door who speaks completely different than you do. That's the funny thing I think about that too. But by and large, if you're in New York, you don't know who you're talking to. It could be anybody, which I think is
exactly literally anybody.
Exactly. So I think that's really interesting. I think the whole thing is about like growing and knowledge and understanding more and being curious, and just staying really curious about these things. And one of the things I love most is when somebody asks me a question and I'm like, I think, but let me look it up, let me find out, let's see what consensus is. I love that. I love when people ask that question, especially when they've been doing this for a while. They have such good questions, and that keeps me curious too. I don't know about you.
I
feel off of that energy sometimes with other people. And
again, it's about feeling challenged, right? Like I have this student at the university. Most of my students, my high level students, my advanced students, they have no specific problem with grammar or vocabulary, not even pronunciation. The common problem they have is confidence. So this person, he worked as an interpreter in Africa, and he's in a seventh level of the English courses that the university offers, which is advanced. The thing is, when he started speaking, I was like, he is very fluent. He's very proficient. He just hasn't realized. He said, I haven't practiced for many years and I used to be an interpreter, but now I feel stuck and I feel this and I feel that. Now, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start practicing, working on his confidence. And so I always try to make him participate. I try to make everyone participate, but especially him. I give him the microphone, let's say, because I really want him to take everything he has in his mind and put it into words. The thing is, someone asked me a question. We were learning about volcanoes and stuff like that, the natural phenomena. And I knew the word ash, but I forgot the word sulfur. I forgot the word. And in Spanish, that's azufre. That's the word in Spanish. And so a student of mine asked, teacher, how do you say azufre in English? And I was like, I know ash is ceniza, and I got stuck. And I was like, okay, let me look it up. I forgot. And that student, the other student I told you about, he was like, oh, it's sulfur. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Nice.
Any other teacher would feel like, oh, who do you think you are? Oh, am I useless? And I'm like, no, I was very impressed and thankful. And I was like, thank you. Carlos is his name. Thank you, Carlos, for helping me out. There's nothing wrong with not knowing a word.
Absolutely. I think some people, and I guess it's just human, your ego can get in the way sometimes.
Exactly.
And here it was like, you already had in the back of your mind to let this person shine. And now had an opportunity. And it just happened so naturally that here's this great opportunity for this person. And you didn't even have to do anything. They actually stepped up, and that shows a lot of courage already.
He looked shy when he did it. So it was funny. If I would have let myself be driven by ego, I could have said something like, oh, maybe I'm going to make sure. That would have been so messed up.
Nice. That makes sense. So here's this person. I don't know if they knew their issue was confident. Did they know that? Or did you say, hey, I think it's just confident. Did you tell them?
Oh, no, he said it. He said, I feel insecure. Okay. Because I haven't practiced for a couple of years, more than 5 years, I am stuck.
So I think a lot of the thing we need is confidence. And the thing is, you don't just get confidence, right? You get it as a result of something else. So him coming up with this, having the courage to say something, you having a safe environment for him to do that, what's the result of all? Boom, more confidence. So it's about creating that sustained environment that I think is super important, because otherwise you don't just get confidence.
Exactly. That was also part of the topic of discussion with the other teacher that I told you about at the beginning. He said, I know that you want to help your students feel confident, but confidence is sometimes the result of proficiency. And I never thought of it that way. The more proficient you are, or the more fluency you reach, you will probably, as a result, most of the time, students are going to start feeling more confident. I always think that every rule has an exception. So there's always an exception to the rule. Some learners did not go through the normal, traditional, regular process of learning. So I have a student who lives in the States. He's already close to what some of my students' level and it's been only 2 years. It didn't take me 2 years to reach his level. So I'm amazed. He didn't study grammar. He didn't study at a language school. Mm-hmm. I am his first English teacher. So I'm honored. Like, he's just practicing conversation with me. And of course, we go through those nuances and those specific things of grammar that probably he doesn't know. Yeah. But he speaks. He's fluent. He has a great pronunciation. He is confident in the way he speaks. And other students who are very advanced and know a lot of academic vocabulary and probably got 600 points on the TOEFL, they probably do not feel as confident.
And so some people have a lot of receptive knowledge, but they don't get that opportunity to produce, so they don't have the confidence. Sometimes the environment they're in doesn't feel safe to make mistakes and things like that. And I think, too, what you mentioned is important about our main topic today, which is, like, people learn differently. How we all learn today has really changed in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, right? Like, how many people do you know that really get all of their language input from their cell phone? So I think it's a good segue for us, because today we want to talk about Instagram, we want to talk about TikTok, and but how we as teachers now have to move to the space of, now I'm calling myself a creator, and now I have to create content, because really that's how to reach people. Because maybe this person thinks, oh yeah, I never went to class, but how many hours do they spend scrolling and listening to videos and getting that passive information, even if they're their first teacher, right? Let's say you're a teacher and you want to get started, and maybe it's teaching English, maybe it's accent coaching, something like that. I say maybe one of the most accessible platforms or democratized platforms for people as creators to get started on easily, probably Instagram. I don't know if you would agree, but I feel like it's an easy place to get started.
I would say it used to be. I'd say TikTok is a bit more accessible nowadays.
I'm really into TikTok. What's the TikTok?
I don't know. It's just, I have such a difficult relationship with Instagram. It's a hate love. Been so hard to grow. I'm speaking about numbers. Of course, some people say, and I say it, like, numbers aren't our main goal. And of course, numbers aren't my main goal. I still have a lot of clients, even though I don't have thousands of followers. But numbers help. And it's kind of an indicator of growth. So Instagram, I was stuck last year, or probably at the beginning of last year, and I finally reached 8,000 after almost 5 years.
Woohoo! Yeah.
8,000 followers, which is great, and I celebrate it. But I think Instagram now is not my top priority. It never was. Mm-hmm. Probably at the beginning it was. I think Instagram is a very useful tool. So teachers, if you want to start creating content, Instagram is useful for advertising. Mm-hmm. So you can pay for advertisement. People reach out to you. Make sure that your videos are high quality. You don't need to spend a lot of money or anything like that, mm-hmm. but try to make your videos engaging. And Instagram does help with showing your video to the right person.
Okay.
While TikTok is different. TikTok is more all over the place. Right. You're everywhere. You go viral. Mm-hmm. You reach hundreds, thousands easily with one video, one single video. Mm-hmm. And that can also result as free advertising because you're not paying for it. But I think TikTok is more about engagement and building a community, because people interact in your comments. If you go live, like I do, I go live at least 3 times a week. People engage with you and they have conversations with you and they reach out to you, and then they start asking for your Instagram. They go together.
Sure, absolutely, definitely. I think that what you said is very interesting about the algorithms that exist on both. I can, if I look at my Instagram, it was like slow growth and then it jumped really fast and there was a plateau. It's hard to predict and guess and react because there's often changes and it's a bit of a black box. So it's hard to say. But maybe, like you said, maybe that's part of it is they're trying to target the audience. The way it works is that they're trying to find the right people for you. But on TikTok, they just cast a really wide net. They throw it out there. They throw it on the wall and see what sticks. And as a result, you're reaching people that would never normally probably see your work, which is also an important way to go. So maybe those two together are a really good way to do that. So for me, I like the thing on Instagram, whereas you can diversify. You can post a video, you can post a carousel, which is like several pictures in a row, or you can just post one static picture. So I like that variation there. I correct me if I'm wrong. TikTok is video only, correct?
You can post pictures. I mean, I think posting is started a few months ago being more effective. Like, even TikTok recommends, if you are a creator and you post videos, it tells you, like, you should post pictures today because they are trending today. So I sometimes follow the trend and TikTok recommends something, but definitely Instagram is going to be always the master in pictures and also videos or carousels, as you said. And you can write a full text that people are probably going to read, or you can split the text into plenty of images, plenty of pictures, short texts. I think stories are amazing on Instagram as well. People get informed through stories. They know about you and what you do. TikTok has stories as well, but it's not the same. I don't feel it's the same. I never watch my friends' stories on TikTok.
Maybe because you don't have that same connection, right? Maybe with Instagram,
exactly.
There's more of a direct line there. Whereas for TikTok, maybe it's more about finding a bunch of random stuff and seeing what's out there. So you don't want to maybe go into that connection. So maybe on Instagram, if there's a teacher out there who is a bit nervous about showing their face, maybe they're not ready to make video, they don't know how, they don't know the steps, they don't know the process, maybe Instagram is a good way to just first get some information out, maybe in a picture, in a carousel, maybe develop a habit of regular posting, because a lot of this comes down to the habit, because it's a lot of work, and I don't know how much you prepare for that, but also thinking about how much time you spend. Can say this for myself too. If I'm going to make a video, preparing a script, setting it up, having a good day, making sure all tech stuff is working.
Being in a good mood.
you're going to smile on your video, right? Then the editing afterwards, then the posting. Oh, I got to think of a caption. Oh, are there any related videos? Like, a lot goes into this. I love the idea of going live for you on TikTok, because I think that's another way that people can really connect with you. And when you go live, can I ask you, what do you do? Is it a Q&A session? Do you have some things prepared? What's your format?
I have never prepared for a TikTok live, but I do it for Instagram. So on Instagram, comments go very slow. They show up very slowly on Instagram. Mm-hmm. On TikTok, it's almost like immediate. It's almost instantaneous. So that makes engagement a lot easier and faster. And you get a lot of comments at the same time. And
you feel the best.
Watching, and it shows you who joined. And if that person left and they join again, it tells you this person has joined. You can receive gifts and stuff like that. But your question was about preparation. So the way I work on TikTok is I stream my classes. So people watch me teach. They watch me. They don't watch my students. I never show my students' face or anything. But they listen to my class and they watch me teach. So what I usually do is that I have 10 minutes between every class. I do it normally on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So I have one from 5 to 5:50. So I spend 5:50 to 6 answering questions, reading comments, saying hello. Then I go back to teaching, and by the end of my shift, I stay for an hour or two answering questions, and a lot of people follow you. I get maybe 150 followers on one single live, and people ask you questions, and they ask for information about your classes. So that's the reason why I stream my classes. So they're like, who is this random person? Why is he speaking English? Uh-huh. Oh, he has English classes online. I want to watch the way he works. And they leave a question. Okay, hey, where can I contact you? So that's my free advertisement.
Now I get it. Now I see. Okay, so you're not necessarily saying, hit live on TikTok. Hi, guys, I'm here on TikTok. I'm here to answer your questions. No, you're doing a class and then you've got another phone.
I've got my
you.
And I'm here looking at my computer teaching.
Yes, I see. So they can see how you teach. Can they hear the other students?
They can hear the other students, but I'm never like reading the comments and losing attention from my... The beautiful thing is that my community, the people who always join, are like, hey, he's going to answer your questions after he finishes his class.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
I say, bye-bye, guys. Or if it's a private class, bye, Juanito. And then hi, guys. And my name is Asdrúbal. And then I introduce myself. I'm an English teacher, as you can tell. And I start answering questions.
Ah, what a great, let's say, low barrier to entry. If somebody is like, I don't know how to go live. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. What if I get there and there's crickets? If you're a teacher, I love this idea because you're not doing much extra, honestly. You're just getting a second phone, putting it on you a little before, and then the work afterwards. So it's great for marketing because people can see how you teach, right? Because that's usually the question in the back of everybody's mind, right? If I'm going to take, I don't know, a class on aerial silks or something like that, I'm going to take a class. I'm going to say, I don't know what I'm in for. What's going to be like? Is it going to be a lot of this, a lot of that? Is it going to be theory? What's their personality? I think that's a fantastic way to really get started on TikTok, because most people think, oh, well, I got to do some dancing videos on TikTok, but it's not the end of the story. There's so many ways that you could show up. This is an excellent way that I never even thought of.
It's amazing because you don't feel like you need to prepare. You don't feel like you need to write a script. Uh-huh. And sometimes I would go live when I'm, for example, I spend some nights like sending emails or grading homework or whatever. I just put my phone and I'm on the computer reading emails, sending stuff, and people are there watching me. And they're like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just planning my lessons. Oh, so what do you teach? Oh, I teach English. So it's like having a regular, like a casual conversation. And it feels like you are not pressured to looking great. You're not pressured to having something prepared before. But on Instagram, I do the opposite. I do the complete opposite. I usually just interview people. I prepare my questions sometimes, and I feel like I need to be looking at the camera all the time. I cannot be like wasting time being on the computer, while on TikTok, I feel more natural.
And also you do with, like we said before, the confidence thing, right? This often comes from just repetition. Maybe the first time you were like, oh, I don't know what to do. Where's the button? Can they hear me? And blah, blah, blah. And how am I going to structure this? And then you've figured it out along the way. So no big deal. I think the thing is, like we said earlier, habits, just getting started. Find that low barrier, low risk entry. Like you said, pen and papers. What's up?
It's like going to the gym. On your first day, you don't have to be a pro. You don't have to do certain repetitions. If you just want to go show up and then just run on the treadmill for 20 minutes and then you go home. But you went to the gym and you started the habit and it helped. Running for 20 minutes is a lot. And maybe the next day you can reach out to a coach and ask, hey, listen, yesterday I started coming to the gym. Can you help me out with a routine? And then you start little by little.
So we said there's like these low barriers of entry. It can be a little intimidating, maybe, because I think that a lot of people think, like we said, oh, well, I got to do some dancing videos and I have to act silly and stuff. And that's definitely not the case. You do you. And I'm just curious, too. So you set this up. It's a very candid, it's a very authentic way to do it. Have you had anything happen that was, I don't know, funny, embarrassing while you were doing this? I imagine that would happen to me for sure.
Yes, I'm such a silly person. So yeah, it happened to me a couple months ago. So I'm in my room right now. So what you're seeing in the background, even though it's blurred, it's my room. Here's where I teach. Here's where I go live, where I record my TikToks and everything. So when I'm live, this is the view my students have, and I look at the computer. The thing is, so I sometimes would finish a class and I use those 5 or 10 minutes to go to the bathroom, and the bathroom is in my room. So I think one day I went to the bathroom like in the middle of the class. Of course, I turned my mic off, but just on the computer. So I peed and all the 50 something people watching the live were like, ha ha ha, he's peeing. Like, we can hear it. And I was like, oh, goodness.
At least you were just peeing. I think that would have been
exactly. Thank God I was just peeing. It was just number one. I was like, I have two options. I either feel bad about myself or I can just laugh at myself. So I started laughing at myself and continued and moved on. I just moved on. So now I go to another bathroom that is like on the other side of the house, or there is an option to turn the mic off on TikTok. So please do it, guys.
It's those like live experiences that I think these days, right? People want to get away from this whole, oh, take my video course kind of thing, right? Because they want that interaction. How many people take a course and never finish it? Most. And how many people jump on a live? And even if you're just teaching and they're watching you just type, like, experience that they remember more, I think, than going through a video.
Definitely. That is totally true. That's one of the reasons why it's not that I don't edit my videos like anymore. I mean, I do edit them, but I do not feel like too pressured to having such incredible, astonishing editing because people are not up to that anymore. I remember this experience. This happened to me last year at the beginning of 2023, and it stayed in my mind and in my heart. I was waiting for a friend outside the bank. She was in line in the bank, and I was outside just waiting for her. And this random guy approached, and he was like, are you Asdrúbal? I was like, yeah. Hi, nice to meet you. Oh, I follow you on TikTok. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. What's your name? My name is Victor. So Victor, if you're watching this, thank you. He said, listen, I just wanted to tell you that I always watch your lives and I have improved a lot just by watching you. So please keep doing what you do, what you're doing. I was like, I didn't know how to react. I was like, thank you. I really appreciate it. Have a wonderful day. I felt nervous and I feel like on the spot, even though I'm not introverted, I felt shy at the moment. So it was such a rewarding experience. And it always happens to me in the street very often now that people are like, oh, you are the teacher. You're the English teacher. So it's a great experience. And it happened not because of my most famous videos or the best editing. It was because of the random natural lives that I do.
Yes, exactly. They feel that connection. And it's a horse of a different color, right? Like we said earlier, totally different things. You've got a carousel. It is totally different than a post. It is totally different than a story. Totally different than a video that you've edited and polished and down to a minute. Versus some lives are highly produced. And some lives are just like, hey, here's my camera. This is me. And I think there's a place for all of those things.
Yeah.
For me, we were talking earlier about how tech is an issue. And for you, maybe 2024 is the year of knowledge. For me, it's the year of tech. I think I'm getting more tech skills. And I want both. Sometimes I want to just turn on the camera and make it really simple. And sometimes I want the confetti and I want to be able to press a button and have my slides come up. And I want this magical experience. So I'm working on that side of things too. And what you said is important. Just turn on the camera and get started. And there's a place, there's a place for that. There's people who like it. For people who are out there and they're like, hey, they don't need to comment, right? Comments mean the world to us, I think. You want it live. That's amazing. But every little comment, positive, negative, an emoji, it actually means quite a lot. If anybody's out there, for any creator that you appreciate, anything that you have gotten value out of, literally 4 words, it's a lot.
It means a lot to us. And especially like when I'm on TikTok, for example, I barely follow people on Instagram, but on TikTok, I do it so intentionally. That's why I value people who follow me and comment under my videos or people who watch my lives, because the way I use TikTok is very intentional. Of course, I use it for leisure. I'm just scrolling up and down and having fun and laughing my ass off. I'm sorry, can I curse here?
Yeah, it's fine.
And doing stuff like that. And I'm learning as well. But when I come across an account or profile that I think is really adding value to me and people in the world, I intentionally follow that person. And it's a very conscious process that I do. So maybe I got caught up on the video to a point where I not just watched the video, but I read the comments and I commented something. And then I went to the person's profile and I started watching his or her other videos. When that happens, I feel, okay, this is valuable content. I follow that person. So whenever I get a follow, it's like, who knows, maybe that person really found the reason why this person followed me. Maybe it was a video they liked. Maybe it was one of my lives. Maybe they just heard something. Maybe they just heard, oh, he's from Guatemala, follow. Mm-hmm. And that's still valuable.
Yeah. Who are we reaching on a level that is important to them? How does it happen? What kind of reaches them most? Is it audio stuff? Is it video? The more you grow, I think, as a teacher, at least these days and age, as a creator, you can't separate the two. Nowadays, like what you said is important. When you find somebody out there that you really connect with, that you really clicked with, that you really value, another thing is that how we're getting support is that way. And plus little things like a tip jar or here, I got a PDF for sale. Oh, you like that? Here. Like we have to diversify a lot of these things. So if you're already a teacher and you're already creating, let's say, PDFs or worksheets or things like that, there's already websites like Teachers Pay Teachers out there too. But if you think about that, you've already got those skills as well to start to supplement your income here too, because I think this creator economy that's happening now, we're only seeing the beginning of it. So now us being able to do that, and like you said, first of all, is getting that base of all the followers and people. Once you've got that, let's say I'm thinking of it like an ocean, then you can cast your net and say, oh, who of these people would like a course on this, or who of these people would like to start a club? And then you can ask them directly what they need and what they want. And so the first thing is just get started so you can build your audience, and then you can see what the audience needs, which I think is really interesting. And so besides TikTok, Instagram, if we're talking about creating and we're talking about a creator's economy and a market, probably the most stablest platform is probably YouTube, and it's probably going to stay that way for a while. They're often making changes. Even this year, they're starting to make changes. And since you're going live on TikTok, have you thought about going live on YouTube? Are you thinking about starting a YouTube channel?
I have a YouTube channel. I've had it for years. I think YouTube is my biggest challenge. And if it's already hard to grow on Instagram, it's harder on YouTube. But just before we move on to, I just wanted to touch on something about TikTok. So I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert in the algorithm and anything like that. It's just my experience as a creator and as a consumer of content. TikTok used to be built for short video format, right? 1 minute, 2 minute max, because people were getting bored and stuff. I remember when I started creating content, I never shut up when I teach. So when I explain things, I remember I used to record my videos and I was like, it was a 4 minute video and I had to shorten it to 2 minutes.
That's a skill.
It was so hard for me because 2 years ago, maybe, probably a year ago, TikTok starts like viralizing.
You could say that. So TikTok started
viralizing short videos, 30 second, 15 second videos. Though I started doing that and it helped, but I didn't feel natural. So I sticked to my 1-3 minute videos. But now, finally, I mean, it's a positive for me because I like probably because I'm close to still being a millennial, even though I'm Gen Z. I'm a first generation Gen Z, 1997. I still like long video format. It's finally starting to even encourage creators to start posting long video format to the point that you can now post 10-minute videos on TikTok.
I watch series
on TikTok. I watch shows. I follow this creator from, she's from the UK. She's amazing. The account is called The Nursery Nurse. She creates whole series, like chapters, and she posts 2, 3, or 4 minute episodes every day. Mm-hmm. And it's just her playing all the characters, but you get so caught up on the story and you get obsessed and you're so invested in it. It's very interesting. So now I feel even more comfortable posting my long videos. And actually, my video that went viral, that was the video that kind of resurrected my TikTok account, was a 3 minute video that I posted recommending people a type of video that you can watch on TikTok that is called Am I the Asshole? It's people reading on podcasts. They read posts from Reddit. They read stories and it's in English and they read it fast and a natural pace and they have the subtitles and the captions in English. So I recommended people, hey, why don't you use these videos for listening practice? It would be advanced because it's people who are not talking to learners or talking to other English speakers. I made the video. I explained a couple tips. I played a couple clips of other videos of examples of these videos. It went viral. It's now 4.9 million views.
Wow.
I was like shocked. I was like, wow, it's my first viral video. And when I posted it, I had 26,000 followers. And now I am almost reaching 165,000 followers on TikTok. So now long video format is working on TikTok. So teachers, if you want to start and you are like me and Bianca and I, who we love to talk, you can now comfortably and confidently post long videos on TikTok. And I'm pretty sure people are going to watch them.
Not to say they need to be these polished, episodic.
Exactly. No, it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to look professional. My video, that video that went viral, it's me with a cap I was wearing. I had just come back from the gym. So I was sweaty and not looking my best. But I was like, oh, I forgot to record the video. So I did it like really fast. It took me like 5 minutes to edit it. I posted it at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. The next day, it had thousands of views, hundreds of thousands. So I was like, okay. And the videos that took me the longest edit do not surpass the thousands.
At least in viral views. I had a very similar experience. We're now February 2024. Last year, around this time, it was just about the Oscars. And I don't know if you remember the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. I thought, oh, Michelle Yeoh is going to win. This is going to be awesome. And one of the first kind of YouTube videos I did and podcasts I did, I thought, oh my God, this is like in 2 days. Can I like whip this out real quick? And I did. And to date, it was the most viral video that I had. It was like, did it really fast, really. And just because I had the option to get it done, it didn't have to be perfect, but it got out there and it got the most comments and still the most of anything. And here we go. This year, a year later, who was it? I think it was at the Golden Globe. They happened to be talking about accents, right? One that was just, it wasn't predictable. It wasn't like I knew it was going to happen. Somebody sent me the clip and I thought, oh, and I had no time. So in 5 minutes, I just added captions, did a little quick summary about it. They were talking about Australian versus British versus US accents, and they were talking about it. And I just reposted it. Like you said, did a clip of that. Again, the most viral thing. And I don't know if you thought that would happen. I never thought that
I never thought it would happen. I thought it was useful. The thing with my content and teachers, again, if or anyone who wants to start creating content or when you want to grow your business, I don't know about you, but I'm not that knowledgeable when it comes to marketing and the business world. I do not consider myself a business person, even though I run my own business. The thing is, I see it as a hobby because I enjoy it and it brings me benefits, like economic benefits as well, economical benefits. The thing is, every video I posted, at least 99% of my videos is because I wanted to record that video. I wanted to talk about it. Even when people were like, just post 15-second videos. I've seen videos of other teachers going viral. People like, they just stand in front of the camera and they're like, gato, cat, perro, dog. And those videos used to go viral very quickly and very often. But I was like, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I want to talk. I want to make people feel engaged. I want to feel like I'm doing something. So I just stick to my normal way of doing different things, and now it's finally working. So you have to feel passionate about what you're doing when it comes to content creation. Yeah. And again, it doesn't need to be perfect. It does not need to look professional. You don't need to buy a camera. I use my phone's camera, and I've used it for years. I use a free editor, so I haven't spent a single penny on editing. But that's about TikTok.
So TikTok exists, Instagram exists, YouTube exists because they have content and they need to match viewer or a consumer, let's say, with a product, right? With the content. And so if you're going to create content, if anyone's going to create content, it might take you a while if you're doing editing or whatever, just getting the courage to do it. It's going to take you some time and effort or whatever. And so make sure it's something you want to do. Make sure every project that you do is going to be something that you're going to enjoy, because it's not easy necessarily, the more complex you get into it, let's say. So it should be something that you like, something you're passionate
about. And I think you have to be ready for two things. You need to be prepared. Probably you will never be. Like, we're never ready for this kind of things, but you kind of need to be prepared for, first of all, backlash, like negative comment and haters. And the second thing, which is something that has to do more with business, is, as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, you need to have a very well-defined target audience. Because you need to have a defined service that you offer. If this is about offering a service, I know what I offer. I know what I don't work with. Based on your content, people are going to realize, I don't think this person can help me. And sometimes they say it out loud. They will share those thoughts with you in the comments. And it's happened to me. I sometimes post listening practice and I try to speak not too fast. I don't know if I speak fast or not in English, but I try not to. But I know that I'm not talking to beginners.
Exactly.
That makes sense. So people would comment, oh, I loved it. I understand 80%. Oh, thank you. This was very helpful. This was easy. Maybe talk faster. And then you start getting comments. The more viral it goes, puedes hablar más despacio. Can you talk slower? I didn't understand a thing. This is too difficult. And even though I feel empathy and I'm like, I understand, but this is my target, right? And it feels weird. Sometimes people are going to start texting you, hey, I'm looking to start from scratch, from zero, to learn English. And I'm like, I don't do that anymore. I used to, and I will in the future, because that's why I'm trying to prepare myself this year, but not now. So you need to be ready to
develop a thick skin for some of these comments.
Also, you will have to learn how to turn down some clients. It feels weird, and people get mad sometimes, but that's not your fault.
Yeah, it's not. And it's more true to yourself to say no to people than to just accept everybody, because you're going to have a problem later. That's the person for you right now. And you're not the person for them right now. That's pretty clear. So don't force it.
Be honest. And a strategy that I use is that I'm honest, but I do have like recommendations. Like, hey, listen, I don't offer that service for now, but there's this page you can follow. Mm-hmm. Or I give them the contact of a friend of mine who has an English academy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can follow them. They work with all levels. So good luck.
Exactly.
So you don't have to be rude about it, but you can also be helpful, right?
Yes,
even if you're turning them down.
I think at the end of the day, like, our job is to help. Even if I can't help you where you're at right now, I'll be here when you're ready. But it's so great that you found me now, so you're thinking about that maybe later.
Exactly. With that viral video that I told you about, where I recommended these Am I the Asshole videos, of course it was for English learners. But then a lot of people from the US started, can you recommend the same, a similar option to learn Spanish? And I was like, I have no idea. The first days I was like just liking the comments, because I would let them know I read your comment, but I have no idea what to tell you, because I don't teach Spanish.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, as I'm in Mexico, and I struggle to find the same quality and number and options in Spanish as exist in English, right? Like, man, if you're an English learner, you just have your pick of the litter, because there's been out there for everybody. And Spanish is not bad, I have to say. It's not like I'm learning a Romanian, let's say, right? Or something that's like a really low frequency language. Spanish is a huge language. And still, there's just a huge gap between what you can find for Spanish and what you can find for English.
It has to do with English being a global language and stuff. But yeah, I think there should be more options for Spanish learners. I do feel for them. Like, they struggle a lot finding resources. I've seen a couple that I think, wow, this is very useful, but it's not affordable for everyone. Or
it's a supply and demand thing, right? Like, the more Spanish is needed or desired, then of course those are going to go up. But as for now, I feel you. I hear that guy or that person.
I want to know, now that we are moving on to the next topic, because I have no experience. I cannot say that I have experience with YouTube. I feel like a newborn on YouTube. I have 10 or 12 videos and I have 400 subscribers, and I haven't posted a video in years. I do post shorts. Like, I just re-upload my same TikToks and stuff. People like them, right. But I never check or comment or anything because I don't feel like myself on YouTube. Yeah. Even though YouTube is the perfect place for me to talk for hours if I want to, but it does require, the reality is that YouTube does require more investment when it comes to editing and posting quality content.
It's a commitment. And nothing ever dies on YouTube. That's the thing, right? Like, we have attention span of a goldfish, like on TikTok and Instagram and a lot of other places, but YouTube never dies. So I can say with absolute certainty, I am no expert, but 2024 for me is tech. And also, I'm going to be starting my YouTube channel super soon, actually.
Oh, I thought you already had one.
I do, but it's like you, right? I'm posting shorts, nothing huge. But this year, by the time this episode comes out, hopefully, I will have at least a couple of videos started. They're time consuming already. Writing a script, getting an editor, having somebody to help you with producing it. But I'm excited because to me, like you said, it's a passion project. And when it's something you're passionate about, I could spend hours on that now. I got to find the time. I got to juggle some things around. But for me, 2024 is going to be the year I really work on my YouTube because I think it has that staying power. YouTube's job is to find content for people to consume, right? The people are out there. And I suppose that if you really work at it and you really don't get any subscribers, you really don't get any views, well, maybe there isn't a market for that incredibly specific thing. But there's a market. I mean, there's YouTube channels out there for just about everything. I think you'd be surprised, right? There are so many very specific niches out there. And I was looking at people in our field too and kind of analyzing the videos that are out there. And I thought, these are great. The content is important. It's interesting, right? It's informative. And I said, I want to make videos that are fun, videos that are engaging, videos that are really interesting. So for me, it's a lot more like production and editing and stuff like that. But like we said, everything's different, right? It's not an Instagram story. It's its own thing. And so for me, that's what I'm going to be doing this year.
Awesome. I love that for you. I wish you the best on this new era of your life. I always say this at the beginning of all the years of my life since I started creating content, but I do want to go back on YouTube and I always say it and I never do it. The thing is, I think that I will be posting content in English, but probably not about English. I do want to record a couple of lessons on more specific things like grammar or phonetics that require a bit more explanation, a longer explanation that I probably won't post on TikTok or Instagram or probably just a couple clips. But first, I want to have my podcast. And where I want to direct my YouTube channel is content, like random content or content that I like, but in English. So people see that it is possible to use your second language to create something. Not necessarily teaching the language or giving them feedback or whatever, but I'm going to have guests on my podcast, or I'll interview someone live, or I'll go to the streets and ask people questions, probably about English or probably not, but I'll do it in English. So people can still practice and listen to a non-native speaker who went through the same experience they are going through and just see it. I think just the fact that they see it, for example, I know you know Hadar. She's amazing. And she just posted a new episode on her podcast expressing how first she moved to Barcelona. She's from Israel and she moved to Barcelona. And she was saying, I feel stuck. Even though she creates amazing content and she has awesome programs that have worked for years, if she was like, I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over again. And now she's posting episodes of her life, like talking about her life, talking about her. So I want to do that. I don't want to feel pressured. Okay, I'm going to have to explain the pronunciation of this or that word. No, I want to just speak and let people know and show them, not just tell them, but show them that it is possible, first, to learn another language, second, to improve your pronunciation, third, to feel confident, and fourth, to use it or something you want to do, something you like to do. I love to talk and I love to put my face on social media. I'll do it in English so you feel inspired maybe or whatever.
Exactly. You're the model. You're the person other people hope to be. So when they see that, it's really inspiring.
Oh, that sounds so inspiring but intimidating as well.
Sometimes it does feel like a bit of a weight. And I don't know if you have this too. You'll just meet somebody randomly. They'll say, oh, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm an accent coach. And then they're super quiet because they're a bit nervous now to talk around me. I'm like, no. Like, no. I'm not like silently judging your speech. That's
the opposite
question.
For me. It's happened to me a couple times. They reach out and they're like, oh, you're the English teacher. And I'm like, yeah, nice to meet you. But they talk to me in English in the street. And I'm like, first of all, I love English with my life. But when I'm not working, I probably don't want to speak in English. So if a random person reaches out to me or approaches me and starts speaking in English and they say, hey, can you grade my English? Can you rate my English? I'm like, I'm not gonna do it. I don't know you. I need more time to make an evaluation, like a thorough evaluation of your speaking or your pronunciation. I don't know. Maybe I can give you a couple tips. We can take a picture if you want. It's so random. It's so funny. Oh, hi, teacher. How you doing? And they talk to me in parties because I party a lot here. They reach out and I'm probably dancing with my friends and my, oh, you're a teacher. And I'm like, nice to meet you. And they start talking in English. And I'm like, all right.
Maybe not now. Not the place.
Maybe not now.
I think that's part of the thing about becoming a public figure is with that too. It's like dealing with, first you have to figure out how to deal with comments and what do I say and how can I still be positive even though somebody's like trolling you or something. And I think there's so many skills involved in what we do. Most of it's not about language, right? Most of it is like about communicating with people and project management and all these things that I didn't even think about. When you just build your skills, I guess, along the way.
Exactly. I think life teaches you. I've learned how to manage my time. I've learned how to edit videos, take pictures, create content, edit, approve, read texts, a lot of things. And I will probably start learning because now I want to get into the field of teacher training. So now I need to learn how to work with people who are in my same field. And if I ever, because that's my purpose to have my own academy, I don't like to say they will work for me, they will work with me, but I'm going to be in charge. Whether you want it or not, I'm going to be in charge. How do I manage? Because I'm such a perfectionist and I'm so scared because I don't want to be pushy, but I don't want to be hated by my employees. I need to learn that. And we could go to college and learn those things, but I don't have the time. And it's not necessary. We can be successful business owners with taking courses online. And the best course is always going to be life. So
exactly. I think that's a good way to wrap up is like, we're all learning all these skills. Some we knew, some we didn't even know we were going to need. So for you, this year is all going to be about knowledge gaining, let's say applying knowledge, right? Consolidating knowledge, all those things. And for me, I'm putting a lot of effort this year into my YouTube because I think it's got a lot of staying power. And when you get your podcast started, let me know because I can be a guest.
You'll be one of my first, if not my first guest.
Oh, definitely. And I think what I love about people like you and me, like we're very collaborative. And there's some people are super competitive in this field and they don't want to share information or it's a shame. I think it's really nice that we know each other, we collaborate and I say, oh, here's the software I use, or here's a video I made for my teachers on this. And I have a teacher's club if you want to come to that. And then we promote each other too quite
often.
And I say, like, I don't have, maybe the student isn't for me, but I know this other guy and you might really like this person. So we really try to work for each other, I would say, and promote each other as well. Because what do they say? A rising tide lifts all ships. I feel that's very much true on our field.
I know. It's just, I've come across people of all different kinds. People who are super competitive and you are not, you don't need to feel forced to sharing something that you do if you don't want to. That's not the way. I'm not trying to steal your content or whatever. You don't need to be rude about it. Other people have been so supportive. People like you, even Hadar, like she's like bigger than us. She's been supportive. There's this guy I met. I was nominated for awards here, TikTok awards in Guatemala. It was so amazing. And I sit next to this guy who I didn't know. And it turns out he's super famous in my country, an American. He helps people. He gives away money and he builds communities and makes people smile in the street. His content is amazing. He travels around the world and stuff. He helps people in need. He has 100,000 followers on Instagram. On TikTok, he has even more. On YouTube, even more. So I didn't know him for some reason, maybe because I don't consume that kind of content. I don't know. So I was sitting next to him. I heard him speak English. I felt nervous because I still get nervous speaking to natives. So I was like, okay, I'm going to beat the fear. I'm going to beat my fear. I'm going to face my fears. And I said, hello. Hi, where are you from? And we started chatting. What do you do? I'm an English teacher. Oh, that's so amazing. Blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, I don't want to go on stage and speak Spanish because I get nervous. And I was like, no, you can do it if you win. We didn't win, but we were nominated. We had so much fun. And then I said, take a picture. And I posted the picture. Like, it was nice meeting you. That was all I wrote. Mm-hmm. And then he reposted the picture. And he said, do you want to learn English? Follow him. I didn't ask. And I was like, that is so kind. Because he said, because I'm a native, people always reach out and say, do you teach English? And I'm not a teacher, so I obviously will recommend your content. I was like, thank you. I really appreciate it. And we went live a couple days ago, and it was amazing. So you need to build your community, like with your followers, for you guys watching this. You need to build your community with your followers, but also a community of creators. Yeah. Have your buddy system, right? Have your friends or colleagues, whatever you want to call them, who are people who will not only support you and collaborate with you and recommend your content, but also people you can learn from and someone you can add value to. Mm-hmm.
Keep those people close to you because they're the ones that, get you through if you feel like you're stuck in a rut or you're just trudging along in the mud. Those are the people that are going to get you through. The comments, all of that stuff, that's what really like reaches you. To have somebody like this guy who didn't need to, but has all influence, right? And just did this for you and probably doesn't even know how much he helped you exactly. But that
he has no idea how many people followed me just because of that story. I was like, thank you. Like, I was very thankful, very grateful. Yeah.
And also maybe on the flip side of that, don't be afraid to reach out to people who are bigger than you because chances are they're a lot nicer than you think. And they started.
Exactly. I've always believed that, and I'm not sure if there's a business secret or whatever, because we normally learn that you either get opportunities or don't get them, or you have to knock on doors. Okay. And sometimes I've learned that most of the chances I've gotten have come because I've knocked on doors, and sometimes I've kicked that door. Sometimes I have been super insistent, constantly knocking on the door, and if they do not open the door, I kick it down, and I create my own opportunity, or maybe I go through the window. Though, if that's something that I really want to do, I have literally sent emails and DMs to people who would never know who I am, but I reach out and I'm like, hey, I admire you. I think your content is valuable. I would love to go live with you and just interview you because I believe that you and I both have something to share with the world. Yep. Would you be willing to? And that's how I invite people to my live talks. People might think, oh, he's famous. He reached out to him. No, it's the other way around. I reach out to people. I'm not scared of being rejected. Why? If they say no, that's fine. If they ignore my message, that's totally fine. Yep. If they say yes, we have a great experience. Do it, guys. I literally sent a message to one of my first famous clients and I offered him, hey, do you want to get free classes? Would you like to practice your English? I've seen your videos talking in English. You have a great pronunciation. I could help you improve if you like to. I'm just asking for you to maybe, I don't know, maybe post a couple stories. We can work together. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And we worked for months. And till this day, we are friends.
That's great.
But it was me who reached out. And sometimes I know you guys will feel scared because it is intimidating. It is scary experience to reach out and offer something and feel rejected or whatever, but it's the only way, I would say.
It's like any old job interview, right? Or getting a job, let's say. Getting a job is a job, and you set resumes, and you get all the interviews, and you get a lot of rejections, and sometimes you never hear back from people. It's that same feeling, I think, but the most important thing is to keep plugging away at it, because if not, like, the opportunities are not going to come there. I think, like you mentioned with luck, a lot of people think luck is like pennies from heaven, but most of it is what you've created. But you get that foundation down and you're creating the positive opportunities to come. You're creating your own luck.
I'm also doing it right now with this new field that I want to start getting involved in, like teacher training. I sent emails, multiple emails and messages on WhatsApp to people who either have an English academy or work at an English academy or a school, a bilingual school. And I sent an email and I said, hey, I have a workshop for teachers about the importance of teaching pronunciation strategies and digital resources that I've used. I want to share my knowledge. This is for free because it's a personal project that I like to start next year. But this whole year, I'll be offering this teacher training for free. I don't even have that ready yet. I have the idea. I started building it, but it's not ready yet. But I was like, if I don't send that email today, I'm not going to pressure myself. I'm not going to push myself to do it. So I did it and I've already gotten 3 responses. So I'm going to go to one of the university, but that, what is the name of that? Like when you have a school and then you have the central campus,
like,
and
like a satellite school, maybe
satellite
adjunct.
So I'm going to go there. Like I work at Landívar University. It's a very famous private university in my country. I'm going to go, I'll be there. A friend of mine who has an academy invited me, and a student of mine who is an English teacher and she wants to improve her pronunciation. She said, why don't you come to my school and give the work, deliver the workshop? And I was like, I'll do it. And now I'll do another one for free online. And there are people who are interested. But it's going back to the same point, like you have to put yourself out there, literally. Like it's taking a huge risk, I know, it's pushing yourself, pushing your boundaries and putting in the work. Like now I have to create a quality content workshop because I'm going to do it both in person, on site, and virtual. So now I have that challenge and I feel happy. I feel like I got to learn and a lot of stuff. I'm reading a lot of books and watching a lot of videos.
Yeah. When you put something out there for free and nobody bites, you're like, okay. But then when you do that and somebody responds, that's really validating. And now, you set yourself up to be accountable, right? Now you've got to do it.
Now I got to do it. There's no way back.
The first one might be a disaster, but the second one will be way better.
Yes, exactly. The first one might be a disaster. And it happens with my classes. Like us teachers, we're always, I don't know if you have ever worked in a school. Like if you have ninth grade, for example, and you have two different sections of the same grade, and you have section A in the morning, section B in the afternoon, you have the same content planned, but you mess up with the first section and you're like, okay, I'm not going to do that with the second group. So you start improving your own mistakes as well as a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes that's why we do the test run for free. It's free for you guys, but I'm learning from this too. And I think that everyone knows that's the trade-off. That's the assumption, is that the first one might not be the best, but we're both getting something out of this. So let's do it anyways. Absolutely. And speaking of that, what are you currently working on? Where can people find you? Obviously, TikTok, all the socials. Can you tell us your handles? Give us some opportunities to interact with you.
So yeah, you can reach out to me. You can hit me up on Instagram. That's probably the best place, which is at AsdruEnglishGT. That's the same username for TikTok. On TikTok, we can interact in my lives. I'm usually live on Monday nights, Tuesday and Thursdays from 5 p.m. till 9, 8 p.m., like 4 hours. And I'm trying to find another day to just go live to directly answer questions from TikTok. So we can engage there. We can interact there. You can send me a message on Instagram. I'll be more than happy to say hello. If you want information about my courses, I'm currently offering private classes for people who want to practice conversation and improve their pronunciation. So that's what I'm offering right now. Like, it's obviously regular language classes, but focused on giving you that chance that you probably don't get in other places of, now that you've gotten a lot of input, now it's time to produce. So I'll give you the chance. It's a safe place to make mistakes. I need you to make mistakes so I can help you learn and improve. So that's what I'm offering right now, private classes. I still have a couple of spots available if you guys are interested. I work with intermediate and advanced students. And, oh, hello.
I was going to say, speaking of Kat.
And, oh, so beautiful. What else? My YouTube channel is AsdruEnglishCoach. Mm-hmm. That's the name of my YouTube channel. I will probably start posting the video format there and Spotify and all the other stuff, like just the audio. If you are an English teacher watching this, if you're interested in knowing what the importance of pronunciation is, or some strategies, or how to motivate your students, how to correct errors and stuff like that, you can reach out and I will have these free workshops throughout the year, multiple times, so different people can enroll. And what else am I doing?
That's not enough.
And I'm also studying and stuff. So if you guys have
tips for full-time job.
And I'm working at the university, so... So yeah, it's going to be a very challenging and busy year, but I love that.
Awesome. Thanks so much again for coming and talking about your experiences, because we're kind of on similar tracks in a way, and helping other people who might want to go down this path see what's in our future. I think that's always really important. And just giving people your perspective.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving the space and creating this important space for learners and for creators and teachers. And guys, if I could give you a recommendation, the best tip someone has ever given me, the best tip I've been given is never get used to what you're doing. Like, never get used to it. Never feel comfortable doing it. Every single class you teach, every single podcast you're invited to, every single video you record must feel like the first time, because that makes it exciting and it keeps you motivated and passionate about it. So every time I go live, every time I do something, I feel like it's my first time and I think this is my first time. I'm nervous, and that nervousness makes me more excited and thrilled.
Totally. People can pick that up for sure. They know that. Anytime you go, you want to get pumped up and be excited, because you transmit that energy, I think, to everybody else. That's something else. Something else I really like about you too. So that's a good tip we can all use. Thank you. All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you soon. If you found this episode helpful in any way, please subscribe and leave a review. It's actually really helpful to me. Now, before I go, I have two tasks for you to do. First, I want you to register and come to my free monthly masterclass. They're on the last Thursday of the month. In just 1 hour, you're going to master a specific American accent skill. For example, the TH sound or rhythm. The Zoom registration link actually changes each month. So the second and maybe more important thing I want to ask you to do is to sign up for my mailing list, because you're going to get the registration link each month. You're going to get bonus materials before and after the masterclass that I only send to my email list subscribers. The email opt-in link is down in the show notes. Be sure to sign up for my mailing list and come to the monthly masterclass for free. I'm Bianca, your personal American accent coach, and I want you to know that your voice is your choice. And thanks again to Asdrubal for joining me today to talk about how to grow on social media as a teacher. And thanks to you guys for listening as well. See you soon. Bye for now.